The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
The story that my teacher told me, a very famous story, I love this story a lot. He says, a man approaches his son and says to his son, that if you pray namaz ishab every single night, I'll give you, for example, 1,000 tumans. Now for Iran, that's a lot. Not really, it's about a kubide and some brinj and some rice. Well, at least back in my day. Now it's, a lot more. But let's say, for example, for sake of dollars, I'll give you $50 every time you wake up for namaz ishab. $50, okay. Every single morning, 3:45. Knocks on the door, collects his money, and goes, prays namaz ishab. Happens for months. One day, there's no knock on the door. The father says, "Sogya bachcha." He's asleep, didn't make it. Looks inside of his room and sees at the bottom of his room, the light is on, he's awake. Peeks inside, prays namaz ishab. After he's done, what happened? He didn't collect your money. He says, Baba, I realize after all these months that what I am gaining from this namaz ishab now is far more than your $50. But it took the initial 50 to get him there. Are you saying to bribe my kids? Maybe. It's okay to reward them. Even God says, if you pray, I'll give you Jannah. Nothing wrong with that. But after a while, the purpose is that it's not about the 50. If you clean your room, I'll give you a candy. It works for a 10-year-old. Me in my 40s, maybe not. By now, I should understand that there is some wisdom behind a clean room. It's important that we use the body that is now willing now to do those things to now instigate that training process. Look, I'll give you another example. I'll keep throwing examples at you. You board a flight from here. When I went to Hajj with Inayat Bhai and the group, we flew from here to Abu Dhabi. From Abu Dhabi to Jeddah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Correct? So I boarded a plane from here, and they showed me a video. The video is what? This is how you put on a belt and take it off. Cabin pressure drops, there'll be a mask, put it on first, then put it on for the person beside you, right? The ground becomes a illuminated pathway towards the exit. Exits are here, right? Your seat is a flotation device. You've all heard it 1,000 times, okay? I land in Abu Dhabi, then I fly towards Jeddah, the exact same video. Seat belts, oxygen mask, flotation device. On my way back now from Hajj, the exact same video. As long as I'm flying, doesn't matter if it's a 40-minute flight to Montreal or 12 hours to Dubai, they'll show me the exact same flight. How to buckle and unbuckle a seatbelt. Baba, I'm a grown man. I know how to do this. Tell me instead, is it chicken or beef on the plane? That's what I want to know. And then when I asked the pilot, why don't you tell me what the menu is on the plane? He said, look, Mr. Jaffrey, the menu is not important for your survival, but a seatbelt is. So even if we tell you 10 times, 20 times, 30 times for your survival, it's not enough. God says 10 times a day, say, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin. That's your survival. So yes, this tafheem process from body to spirit is absolutely there. And the spirit catches up later. And eventually should overtake the body, where now the soul now dictates to the body, don't go here, don't say this, watch your tongue. That's why Imam Ali says, a wise man, what? His tongue is behind his intellect. I mean, leading the way is the intellect, then this is a zaban. It's not like those people like me, I say something, then I think about, oh, I shouldn't have said that. always remember one thing I always say. As long as we are quiet, we are in control of our words. We're the master, my words are the slave of me. The moment I utter those words, the words become the master, I become the slave. If those words are causing fire, 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 as a slave I have to go, put out that fire, put out that fire, put out that fire. So it is a complete encompassing system. Even when we look at our Furu' al-Din, a lot of it is a physically dominating worship that God says. Seven parts of our body have to be on the ground during sujood, to the point of the tips of your toes. To the point where, you know, even when you look at the Ahlul Bayt, the way they describe salat, some say that even your fingers during salat have to be together, a little bit apart, parallel to your ears. It's very, very physical. Wudu just above the elbow, from the tips of your toes until your ankle bone. Hajj, keeping your left shoulder to the Kaaba. So specific, so physical. Salat is very, very physical. You cannot move the Qibla beyond 45 degrees, for example. You can't swivel your head. You can't eat during Salat. You can't talk during Salat. You can't sleep during Salat. That's all physical. But is that the purpose? No. They're all meant to be connectors to the spirit. And if Salat is the ru' of ibadat, and it is, Allah says the perfect Salat is the one where the body is still, the mind is still, and the spirit is still as well. There's a beautiful hadith that I found just today by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala. He says, "Ma dha'afa al-badan mimma qawiyat alayhi niyyah." Oh, he says the body will never tire, will never become za'if based on the strength of the niyyah. Meaning what? You ever see people who really intend to do something? They're doing their passion project. Like there are volunteers right now outside that will stand there from now until midnight. If you ask them, "Don't your feet hurt? Aren't you tired?" "No, say that I can go all night. I love this stuff." For Imam Hussein, "No way. I told myself on the first night that this is my niyat, this is my manat, I'm going to do it. I set my mind to it, and now my body won't give out." There are some people that when they're doing what they love doing, they never get tired physically. Then there are those who are doing what they don't want to do. Within 5 minutes, they're tired. Ask your kid to clean their room. "Oh, Bob, I'm tired." Ask your kid to play basketball. He can play for hours. When the niyat is set and you understand that niyat, the body says, "I won't get tired," until the niyat is confirmed. Meaning what? From the mind to the body, a direct connection. Those of us who suffer from mental health issues, anxiety, stress, depression, there's no physical element there? Is there a physical dimension? Absolutely. Those who are depressed, those who have depression, think about the clothes you wear, think about how you move, think about getting out of bed. Those are all physical elements, even though the mind is the one that's going through the anxiety. There's many, many disorders we have in the medical field where, you know, the mind now affects the body affects the mind. So my point is, and I'm really pushing it on you guys, is the idea that there is an absolute connection between my external existence and my internal existence. And the Islamic identity says all three of you, mind, body, and soul, are the ones that have to all be in sync towards that path. For example, the Christians of Najran who came to see the Prophet during the event of Mubahala, they came from Yemen, they arrived, the first person they met was Imam Ali. As all of you know, if you've read the history, I'm sure you have, you've heard the history, I'm sure, they were dressed in luxury clothing. They thought, "Okay, I'm coming to see the Prophet of God. We also want to kind of show our level." So they were dressed almost in royalty, the books say. Very, very extravagant, very expensive clothing they had on. It was a delegation. They wanted to, announce their presence. And Imam Ali says, "If you want to meet the Holy Prophet, change your clothes. Simplify your dress." Now, if they accept what we accept today, they'd say, what difference does it make between our intentions and our heart and our spirit to what I'm wearing? The Prophet is saying there is absolutely a connection. Sometimes how you present yourself physically to yourself, forget anybody else, to yourself, is a direct reflection of how you see yourself internally. The Prophet would, before leaving the house, look at the mirror. All of you know that. The Prophet would keep a comb in his musalla. And it's supposed to have the comb, a little bit of the beard and the hair during in between salat. All these things are there. For what reason? So this narrative sometimes that a lot of our youth kind of accept, I'm sorry, is that does it matter if, for example, hijab or loose clothing or music or eating this, or eating that, it's okay. It's me and God. My spirit's good. My heart's good. Doesn't matter what's going on. Let's not buy into that. If we want to cultivate an Islamic identity, we absolutely have to understand that my mind, my body, and my soul have to be into it.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.